My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, an inner city mother had a 4-year-old son, and she used to leave him at the daycare center in the morning and pick him up again at night when she returned home from work. A week before her son's 5th birthday, she decided to have a party for him. And so she invited 5 of his playmates from the daycare center to be his guests. When the time came for the party, not one of the 5 children showed up. The mother was cross because she knew how much the party meant to her little boy. He had never had a birthday party before. The mother hurried across the hallway to the apartment of an elderly couple and asked them to come. Then she called a friend she worked with and asked her to come too. And so she had a party for her son. At first, the little boy cried when he learned his friends couldn't come. But after a while, he began to jump around and have fun. My dear brothers and sisters, that tragic story resembles the parable that Jesus tells in today's gospel. It too concerns guests who failed to show up for a party and had to be replaced at the last minute. Let's take a closer look at Jesus' parable. Like all of Jesus' parables, this parable has 3 levels of meaning. First, there's the literal meaning. It's simply the story Jesus tells. A king holds a wedding feast for his son. When the invited guests don't show up, the king replaces them with substitute guests. The second level of meaning is the intended level. It's what Jesus intended to teach the people through this parable. For example, what did Jesus intend the wedding feast to stand for? Who did he intend the king to stand for? Who are the invited guests who didn't show up? Who are the substitute guests who replaced them? My dear brothers and sisters, after we study the parable closely, we see that the king stands for God. The wedding feast stands for the kingdom of God. The invited guests stand for the chosen people who made a covenant with God. And finally, the substitute guests stand for the sinners and the Gentiles of Jesus' time. They are the people who accepted Jesus after God's chosen people rejected him. And so the second level of meaning is what Jesus intended to teach the people through this parable. And one of his teaching is this: the kingdom of God is now open to all people, just as the chosen people. Now not one is excluded, not even the Gentiles. And this was a revolutionary idea to the Jews of Jesus' time. This brings us to the third level of meaning. It's the personal or practical meaning that the parable holds for us 2,000 years later. In other words, my dear brothers and sisters, how does the parable apply to our lives today in a practical or personal way? For the answer to that question, we turn to the surprise ending of the parable. It describes a substitute guest who is expelled from the feast by the king because he came without the wedding garment. It describes a man, if we exaggerate slightly, showed up at the banquet in the same filthy clothes that he wore to clean out his stables where he kept his donkeys. Why did Jesus add this detail to his story? Who does this crude individual stand for? He stands for a substitute guest who responded to the king's invitation, but on his own terms, not the king terms. He stands for someone who refused to conform to the etiquette that was normal in ancient times when people entered the king's presence. It is right here, my dear brothers and sisters, that we find the parable's personal meaning for our lives today. We are among the substitute guests who have been invited by God to the wedding feast of the kingdom of heaven. We have been invited by God to sit down at the banquet of eternal life with his son Jesus. And God makes it clear that if we accept his invitation, we must do so with God's term, not our own term. And what does that mean? In the imagery of Jesus' parable, it means we must wear a wedding garment. And what is this wedding garment? What did Jesus intend the wedding garment to stand for? We find the answer to that question spelled out in detail in another parable. The parable of the Last Judgment, which follows closely on the heels of today's parable. I guess we are familiar with it. It describes the climax of human history. And the people who ever lived stand in two groups before the King of heaven and earth. One group on his side, the other on his left. To those on his right, the king says, I quote, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcome me. Naked, and you clothe me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me. And to those on his left, the king says just the opposite. Depart from me, for you never did one of these things for me. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, the wedding garment that Jesus refers to in today's gospel stands for our loving concern for others, especially the needy in our midst. The wedding garment stands for our service to our brothers and sisters. In brief, then, today's parable tells us that we have been invited to the wedding feast of heaven. But it also tells us that we must come dressed in a wedding garment of good deeds. We must dress in a wedding garment of service to others, especially the needy. We must come dressed in the wedding garment of love. Let me close with a prayer. Lord, open our eyes so that we may see your face in the face of the needy. Open our hearts that we may reach out our hands to feed you when we find you hungry, to clothe you when we find you naked, to house you when we find you homeless. Then when life is over and we stand face to face before you, you will reach out your hand to us and say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen.